up for parole. CBS presents another in the exciting crime series based on authentic cases actually heard by parole boards in our state prisons, reenacted here for the first time.
The story you are about to hear is taken from the official records of Thomas Hostie, prison number 2N61-357, now pleading before the parole board and before you for his freedom.
I'd like to tell you first, gentlemen of the board, that I had a wrong idea about coming up before the parole board.
Yes, what was that, Hostie?
Well, I thought at first I'd tell you what I thought you wanted to hear about how I did wrong and I served my time and so forth and so on. But I know that won't work.
How did you find that out?
Well, other guys come before the board. We talk a lot about this board.
I see.
So I figured the best way is don't try any line. Just say it out the way you feel it. Straight. And if that's all right with you, that's what I like to do.
That's fine, Hostie. That's a good start. You'll find this board will meet you more than halfway, if you mean what you just said.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, proceed.
Well, to begin with, I was sentenced 10 years for grand larceny and criminal fraud. Been in now 5 years. I guess I went wrong for the first time, in a big way, that is. Oh, about 7.5, 8 years ago, when I was a kid, 22. I was working as a busboy at the Gotham Businessmen's Lunch near the Wheat Exchange. Nice, plushy place. Men taking an hour and a half, 2 hours for lunch.
Why, sure.
And I'd hear him talking big talk.
Well, the way I see it, Bill, you buy tomorrow at 152. You hold it 3 weeks, and I guarantee 3,000.
Well, then it's true about Warren. Took 14,000 in less than a week.
Well, you can do the same, Bill. Came from the same horse's mouth, TJ himself.
Yeah, but you got to have money to go into it.
Well, certainly.
What are you listening to, Tommy?
You hear those guys talking?
No. I don't have time to stand around. I got to serve these orders. You better get back to work.
They kill me. Talking 14,000 less than a week. 15,000, 20,000. The way they toss it around.
What's the matter? You jealous of them?
Me? With 21.95 a week? No. All right, I'll show them all someday.
Uh-oh. The boss is coming.
Hostie.
Yes, Mr. Simpson.
I told you to clear these dishes off table 13. And those men at 17 have been waiting for 15 minutes. They want water.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Simpson.
And the next time you cut butter slices, cut them evenly.
Well, gee, I was in a hurry.
I'm not interested in excuses. Come on now, get moving.
You better watch your step, Tommy. He's real sore at you.
Now, who does he think he is? Huh? Who do they think they are? 15,000, 20,000.
Oh, Tommy, why don't you get wise? You got a job. Okay, you're a busboy. What do you want to kill yourself for with envy?
Because I'm as good as they are, and I know it. And just because they know some jerk, TJ or something, who knows this and knows that, they can make all that dough, huh? Well, I'm as good as they are, ain't I?
Are you? Then how come they're sitting at the tables and you're filling the water?
All right, now, Emma, cut it out. I just feel like taking this tray just the way it is and with all this water.
Hey, watch out!
I can't...
What's going on here?
I'm sorry, Mr. Simpson. I wasn't looking, and they slipped.
Slipped? I saw you. You deliberately threw that tray on the ground. Get your time and get out of here. You're fired, Hostie.
If I had folks, maybe I'd have gone back to them right then. But my old lady's dead a long time, and my old man, the last time I heard from him was... He was sailing out of Valparaiso, Chile, somewheres. I just found the nearest bar and started to tie one on. I'd show him. Simpson, those $15,000 talkers. Emma, I'd show her, too. Standing at the bar in this joint was a guy I never saw before in my life. A guy named...
Vincent. Pete Vincent. Traveling salesman. That's my suitcase. It's loaded with stuff.
He was a flashy kind of guy. Wore a Hollywood draped suit, had two big diamond rings on his fingers.
How old are you?
22.
What's a kid 22 doing in a bar in the afternoon, not working?
There's no payoff in working. Some easy dough is what I'm looking for.
Easy dough, eh?
That's right.
You ever think about watches?
Watches?
Yeah. Lots of guys lose their watch every day.
And if somebody finds it for them, they're kind of grateful. Sometimes, even when a guy didn't lose a watch, sometimes he says he lost it. And then he always gives you $5 for finding it.
What, are you a con man or something?
If you ever meet a fellow who tells you he's a con man, he's not. Me? I'm a salesman. Now look, in this suitcase here, I got like 200 watches. With a bright-looking kid like you, nice open face, easy talker, we lose these watches. Restaurants, bars, bus terminals. Guys always claim they lost watches, and then they give you a $5 bill for finding them.
And?
And nothing. The watches cost a dollar and a quarter. $3.75 profit on 200 watches. That comes to $750. Cut that two ways, and you get yourself $375. I mean, if you're smart.
Does it work?
You don't see me wearing no rags, do you? Take a look at these rings. Diamonds. 15-carat diamonds. Well, you did pretty good with all the watches, Husty. So, now you want something big, eh?
That's right, something real big.
You think you're big enough to handle it?
Oh, I think so, Vincent, don't you?
All right. You graduated out of the watch department. Now we'll go into the bank department.
The bank setup was this, gentlemen of the board. I got a good suit of clothes, conservative, not loud. Vincent gave me $9,000 and I opened an account. I was Thomas M. Hostie, importer. And I put it to the vice president of the bank.
We're very pleased to have your account in our bank, Mr. Hostie. Please go on.
Well, sir, I'm comparatively new in this area, having operated successfully in London, Brussels, Antwerp. Oh, a cigar, Mr. Sloan?
Thanks. I'll save it for after lunch, if you don't mind.
I expect there will be a great deal of activity in this account.
I see.
I'll always keep a minimum balance of, $9,000, $10,000, but I would appreciate expedition on some of the checks I want cleared. Speed is of the essence.
Foreign drafts?
Yes, yes, mostly.
Well, sir, a pleasure to have met you. Any time, any problem, at your service.
I can see that you run a first-rate bank, Mr. Sloan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I kept the account busy the first 2-3 weeks. A lot of checks went through. Deposits, withdrawals, all phonies put through by Vincent. But with money to back him. I saw to it that the balance was always between 9-10,000. Always watch that. And then the job was ready for the taking.
Well, it's a little irregular, Mr. Hostie.
Yes, I know, Sloan, I know. But this matter just came up, and it's of extreme consequence to me, to my entire organization.
Well, I'll do what I can.
The chairman of the board of the Antwerp International, the big diamond house in town, and I've given him my personal check for $9,200.
I don't quite understand, Mr. Hostie.
Well, tomorrow he will be in to cash that check. And I want to tell her to look at the signature. I want her to smile, you know what I mean. And I want him to honor it then and there.
Well, there's no problem. Your account covers it.
Oh, exactly, sir. I just wanted the assurance. I wanted him to be able to cash the check easily. So if you can instruct your tellers to...
Tellers?
Yes, I don't know what window he's going to cash it at, and I don't want to have to guide him.
Oh, I see, I see. Well, I don't think there'll be any trouble. About what time would that be?
Oh, 10:15, 10:30. And thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't withdraw the money. Oh, no. The play was smarter than that. I left that balance of over 11,000 right there. And the next morning, 10:30 on the dot.
Would you cash this for me, please? I'm in a hurry, if you don't mind. Please.
The teller cleared that check, gentlemen of the board, for $9,200. And so did five other tellers. Because five gentlemen in cutaway coats with Dutch accents cashed checks for $9,200 at precisely the same moment in front of five different windows. So the take was $36,200.
Well, that's quite a nice play, isn't it, Husty?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I mean, it's one of the smoothest, one of the dirtiest cons there is.
You're still a little proud of it?
No, sir. As a matter of fact, I was conned.
Oh?
Yes, sir. We got the money all right, the $36,000, but before I even got near Vincent again to get my split, he told me to leave town by bus. The buses weren't watched so closely, he said. Well, I didn't even get my ticket. Two nice-looking plainclothesmen just walked over, tapped me politely on the shoulder, and that's how I got here. 10 years.
It would seem, Husty, that sometimes when you think you can use people, and that's apparently your philosophy, that sometimes they use you.
That's what I was going to say, sir.
Were you?
Yes, sir. In the last 5 years, I figured that out. So I served my time while I was in prison. As you probably know, sir, I took a job in the commissary, and I think I did a decent piece of work. Now I think I deserve a chance to... Well, you know what I mean, sir.
That's all you have to say, Husty?
Yes, sir.
Husty, I said before that you use people, and you said, yes, sir, that's what I was going to say. You used the past tense. Now I'll tell you something, Husty. It's the present tense. You try to use them still, this very minute, this very board, ever since you got into this prison. I have before me here this sheet of paper. It's the warden's report on your decent work in this prison commissary.
Yes, but that
He describes you, and these are his very words, a man who has studied you for 5 years. He describes you as vicious, corrupt, degenerate, victimizing the weakest persons.
I was
You brutalized other inmates, nearly murdered them. Acted as inhumanly as it's possible for a human being to act.
Well, sir, I was going to say...
Then say it, Husty. Don't play with kid gloves with this board.
Yes, sir. I did what you said. I did inhuman things and being brutal and nearly killing a guy.
A fellow inmate.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'll tell it just the way it happened. With all the horrible stuff.
We will return to our file in just a moment. But first, that Sing It Again Phantom is certainly proving to be an elusive guy. Despite all the clues which have been added week after week, nobody's yet identified him. And this Saturday on CBS, you'll find he's worth $56,000 in prizes and cash. That's $56,000. Wonderful prizes, cold, hard cash for the smart CBS listener who can identify the Phantom this Saturday night when Sing It Again comes along on most of these same CBS stations and Dan Seymour starts putting in those phone calls. Back to the true story of Thomas Husty, prison number 2N61-357, the man who is up for parole.
Now, if I made myself completely clear to you, Husty, this board wants the full story of your work in the prison commissary, the racket you made of the prison commissary. Now, think a minute, for heaven's sake. What happens to you in the next 5 years is going to be decided in part by what you say here, right now.
Well, sir, you said it before. I mean, it's the truth. Your chances to con inside are different from outside. Easy rackets outside get to be hard rackets inside. Cons, no. They don't fall easy. You work with pressure and your fists and... You burn, you stab, you nearly kill, and you have to. I was in cell block L along with a lot of the old-timers. In my cell was an old-timer, Joey Amram. Joey was going on 60 with 20 more years to serve, embezzlement. Everybody knew he'd never live through it. Joey would die in prison. And when I told him what I planned to do in the commissary, he sailed into me.
So you're planning to move in, huh, Tommy? Into Jansen's spot.
That's right. Who wouldn't move into Jansen's spot if he could? And I'm the only one inside here who can.
Maybe you're the only one inside rotten enough to.
All right, now don't get funny, Joey, just because you're an old man.
What are you going to do, kill me? Knock me down? At my age, that don't frighten me. Look, everybody's got to buy commissary. You gotta buy food, extras, because the chow is... Well, it's enough to live on, but it ain't eating. A commissary, it's the one thing that makes life inside almost okay. Can of peas, maybe you like peas. Pork sausage, maybe you like that. Things they don't serve in a chow, buy it in the commissary. And what are you gonna do? You're gonna make every joker inside pay up. A dime to eat a can of peas. A dime to get space at the burners in the rec hall. A dime to get a plate. A dime for a fork. That commissary is supposed to be for the prisoners. It ain't your special way to choke guys.
Now, look, I hear the chaplain every Sunday, so quit the croaking. Now, Jansen did it, and I'm going to do it.
Remember what happened to Jansen?
Yeah, well, it ain't going to happen to me. Nobody's going to bust my neck. What am I going to do, huh? Or to sit around here, make shoes, license plates rot? I gotta move. I gotta be something. I'd have been somebody on the outside if I hadn't been tricked. I'll be somebody here. Yeah, I'll be in Jansen's spot in 2 weeks. You know how the commissary rec hall works, gentlemen of the board. Prisoners buy their food. They're allowed to buy a certain amount. They bring it in the rec hall and they cook it over the burners there. Well, there's a guard in charge there. At that time, Temple. I was his assistant. He was easy, Temple.
All right, Husty. You're set. But if I don't see that 25 a week, you're dead.
I bribed him. I paid him off. And then I had it. 4 to 6 every afternoon after work when the rec halls were filled up. They'd come to me.
Give me what?
Some for 3 cans.
Me 2 cans.
2 cans.
Me a can of pork.
Can of peas, can of pork. Other guys to rent the burners on that table. And then Joey come in one time, and I said, you eating, Joey?
Not in your rec hall. What did you go and do to that Emmerich kid?
All right, now, Joey, look, now leave me alone. None of your business.
Look, the kid's sick. It ain't just a matter of a little extra food. The kid's sick. He needs that stuff to build him up. He's got blood trouble. He needs liver. You know we can't pay your lousy graft.
All right, John. All right, now get out of my way.
What's he going to pay you? $1 a week? Does that mean so much to you? And it's the difference between maybe him being alive and not.
All right, now stop breaking my heart. I'm telling you for last time. Now get out of my way.
Look, look, you're a kid. You don't know what you're doing. Emmerich is sick. He's really sick.
Okay, you made me. I'm going to give you the treat. The whole treat. Mac, Pete? Yeah. All right, grab him. Give him the treat, man.
No, let me go. Come on.
The treatment. Treatment was lifting a guy, holding him over 3 burners. And that, gentlemen of the board, made me top dog. At least I thought so.
You didn't think so for very long, did you, Hosty?
No, sir, because... Well, Joey went to the hospital and it all came out. I got to the warden's office and they found out. They threw out Temple, the guard. They kicked him out of the prison and they got me out. It was a whole cleanup. The whole commissary rec hall was changed.
You mean a guard that prisoners couldn't buy was put in?
Yes, sir, that's what happened, and it ended the whole rotten system.
You call it rotten. You were the core of the rottenness.
Well, I didn't mean anything, sir, except I know now how rotten it was.
All right, proceed. If you care to.
Yes, sir, I'd like to. Well, cleaning it up was only the beginning for me, because when... You're hard and you stay on top, you're all right. But when you're hard and you flop, watch out. I never knew so many guys hated me in all my life. They used to smile when they gave me the money in the rec hall, but they hated me. They stored it up. They didn't forget. 3 of them got me one day in the yard about a week after it was cleaned up.
Okay, Hosty, a long time waiting. Now you're going to get punched out.
They punched me out. Bare hands, bare fists on your body, never on your face. Till you fall down. Punched me out. Kept happening. Kept getting worse. I get a note saying, watch out, the punch out was nothing. Well, that only meant one thing. They'd cut me out the next time. Well, getting cut out, that means that they take your wrist and your feet and back where the tendons are, and... Well, that's what that means. Well, I ran to the warden and I said, you got to put me in isolation. You got to. They'll get me. Well, he put me in isolation, but it didn't make any difference because they got into isolation, too, when they hated you enough, and I'd lay there all alone in my cell and nobody with me, nobody near me, and I'd hear him talking to the guard in isolation.
Hey, you're looking pretty good, Sergeant. How's Hosty doing in isolation there all by himself? Hey, Sergeant, ain't you off tomorrow and that new guy on?
They meant it. When the new guy was on, they'd get in somehow. Maybe bring the food in or the laundry or something. And then they'd get me alone and they'd get in the cell and they'd cut me out. And I'd hear them coming in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, until I just blew my top and I started yelling, get me out of here, get me out of here. Get me out of here! Get me out of here!
Take it easy, Hosty. Take it easy. Go on, Hosty. Go on with your story.
And that was worse because, well, there was in the hospital, and they could get into the hospital easy. Because I'd gone clear off my rocker, and they put me in a straitjacket. I couldn't even put my hands up over my face. And then I heard him coming, the one I was scared about the most, the one that I had given the treatment to, Joey. Heard him coming, and no one around.
I've been assigned to the hospital, Hosty.
Joy, for the love...
Cut you out, punch you out? Nah. I just come to talk to you because maybe I'm stir-crazy, but that's how I am. I don't want to hurt you. Kid, I'm going to die in prison. But the way you're going, you ain't going to live to be 30. You ain't gonna live to serve out your time, let alone get out. All right. Maybe I sound like a warden to your old man, if you got an old man. Yeah, but look. You can live. Yeah, you can. The guys are satisfied. They gave you what they wanted to. They don't want no more. The record's decent now. You'll be out of the hospital after a while. You can go back. Live like every other guy lives in here.
Why are you telling me this? After what I did to you.
Look, I made my peace a long time ago, kid. Where I'm going in a little while, you can't fool people. At least I feel that way. So, what you did, others did to me, too. I don't want to get even. I'm trying to help you. And the way I can do that is to make you understand that you got to help yourself.
Thanks, Joey, thanks. You know something?
What?
You know, that's the first time in my life I ever said thanks to a guy. And meant it.
That was true, wasn't it, Hosty? The first time you said thanks to anybody and really meant it?
Yes, sir. Well, I got out of the hospital and I saw some signs in the prison. They've been there all the time, but I saw them for the first time. Don't serve time, make time serve you. And there was another one, see the vocational advisor. You can learn a skill. Well, that was supposed to be for jerks. Okay, I was getting to be that kind of a jerk. I made time serve me. I studied.
You began to try to equip yourself, Hosty, to face the outside world. Why didn't you tell us this? Why'd I have to drag this out of you?
Pride, I guess. Stupid, phony pride. Not being over it yet. I mean, the con being the greatest thing in the world.
And now you want out. Why?
Well, gee, everybody wants out. I mean, freedom.
But why do you want out?
Well, so far it's only talk, what I feel. I want to see if I'm really any good. The only place that really matters, outside.
All right, Husty. I think you've told us your story, finally, reluctantly. Now this parole board will consider your case. Step outside with the guard.
While Thomas Husty waits and the parole board reviews his story, you too have a decision to make. In a moment, you can compare your decision with that of the actual parole board before which he appeared.
A true story from the files of the New York Police Department will be dramatized on CBS's Gangbusters program this Saturday night. You'll find it the thrilling reenactment of how the New York police tracked down a gang of ex-convicts who set themselves up in the robbery business. And it's called The Case of Emma G. G-E-E. G. Emma as in, well, as in Emma. The narrator will be John J. Sullivan, former deputy police commissioner and chief of detectives of the New York City Police Department. So be listening when Gangbusters comes along this Saturday on most of these same CBS stations.
Now the decision of the parole board in the case of Thomas Husty, prison number 2N61-357.
A few questions first, Husty. What do you feel toward the girl Emma, the waitress, toward Simpson, the proprietor?
Well, I want to see him. I want to prove that I'm okay. I want to show him that I'm decent.
The important ones, Husty, are the ones who stood up to you, aren't they? In your mind?
Yes, that's right. I got to show the ones who made me look like dirt.
They are important, Husty, the ones who stood up to you. But some are more important. You know, the really important ones are the ones you knocked down, ones you stepped on.
I never thought of that.
You know, if all the energy and the brains, the real skill that goes into conning people went into something creative, something decent and human in this world.
You know, maybe, Joey. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
What were you going to say?
Nothing. Just, I don't know. Joey's got nobody. Joey's got no family, nothing. He's going to die in here.
Yes?
Now, maybe I ought to stay close to him while I'm in, and after I get out, 5 years, I guess, if he's still alive, see him once in a while, you know, visit him. He ain't got nothing, and he did a lot for me.
I don't think you'll have to wait 5 years before you can come back to this prison as a visitor for Joey. No, this board feels that a basic change is beginning inside you, Thomas Husty. Slow and difficult, but basic. Look up Emma Simpson, if you like. But you come back, visit Joey as a free man. Parole granted. Next case.
Today, Thomas Husty may be your neighbor, your friend. For today, he is a salesman with a textile house and doing fairly well. And he used to visit his former cellmate, Joey Amram, weekly until the time, a little over a year ago, when Amram died behind prison bars. Then Tommy Husty, a small thing but meaningful, built a little monument over a plot of ground that might otherwise have been completely forgotten. It says Joseph Amram and his dates. That's all. The story of Thomas Husty was brought to you in the interest of thousands of men and women in American prisons who someday may be up for parole.
You have been listening to Up for Parole with Stephen Hill as Thomas Husty, written by Arnold Pearl and produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Research by Wally Gould. Music was under the direction of Harry Salter. Listen again at this same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of prison case number 234-768. Up for Parole. This is CBS, where you find adventure and glamour with Broadway Is My Beat every Friday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.